And I found this so interesting. It was unbelievable, so interesting. How to pick out a site, how to clear the vegetation, ensuring you had enough all round so that a helicopter could come down without his rotors touching the trees, how to mark out a strip. And I thoroughly enjoyed it and came back. And of course, I arrived back at, I think it was lunchtime. And the sergeant major said to me, "What you've learned, you've got to put into practice this afternoon. You're going out with the company commander. Meet him at the officers' mess at 2 o'clock. He said he wants to see you mark out a strip. So I briefed company headquarters and I said, right, have the vehicles ready. We'll go at the officers' mess and I'll show you how to mark out a strip. So when we arrived at the officers' mess, the company commander poked his head out and he said, "Be with me in a minute, Sergeant Major." So I looked at the jocks and I said, "What did he say?" He said, "Sergeant Major." I said, "Maybe he's had a couple of gins too many," I said, "in there. He's forgetting that the Sergeant Major's not here." So he came out and he said, "Well done, Sergeant Major, well done." And shook hands with me. And the jocks were in the back and they're saying, "You kept that to yourself." And I said, "Shut up." I didn't know myself. And right, let's go. I marked out this strip and all done. We arrived back. There was the battalion athletics meeting that evening. And I, in fact, had been detailed to be one of the lane judges on the athletic track. And I thought, well, I'm late. So I'm passing the local tailor and he shouted out, "Sergeant Major, the Indian, you see." And I went, yeah. He said, "I have made your crown already," he said. So strapping on my badge of rank and I'm meeting people and congratulations, Sergeant Major. And when I got down to the athletics track, I marched up to the quartermaster. I said, "I apologise, sir, I'm late." "I'm quite right, Sergeant Major." He said, "You're not now required." "Long overdue," he said. "Well done, well done." And suddenly, I was company Sergeant Major. And there were two Sergeant Majors in the company. And I found I was very, very unpopular in the colour sergeant's accommodation where I was not the senior colour sergeant. This did not go down at all well. But that's the way the army moves. And there was many disgruntled colour sergeants who demanded interviews, and they were given interviews and told in no short, sharp tones the reasons why. And I gradually got used to the idea that, yep, okay, I was going to be a colour, I was going to be a company sergeant major, and I was to stay in A Company, which again was tremendous because, one, I knew all the jocks, I knew the sergeants, and And on the following Sunday, I said, are we still going? Despite the fact I'm a sergeant major now, swimming? Yeah, brilliant, sir. And I wait, and we never had anybody else get sunburnt, never. And the exercise that was laid on, the test for the battalion was against the Gurkhas, and that was tough, that was tough. I mean, I was now carrying radio on my back, trying to keep up with a Gurkha who was streaming through that jungle like no one's business. And I was forever getting caught up in wait a while. And these Gurkhas seemed to go through the jungle without ever getting caught on it. But the exercise went well. When we passed our company test, and of course, company commander happy. And for the first time, I was now sergeant major. I was happy, and the senior sergeant major, he'd just been informed that he was to be promoted to the regimental sergeant major when we got home. So we were all really happy in that company, and this company smoker the following night was a brilliant evening of all the officers and all the jocks enjoying themselves before we were pack up all our kit and fly back. And of course I hadn't had time to write letters and inform my wife I was now a sergeant major, or my parents. And when we went home, once we put our weapons away, we went off on leave for a fortnight. And it was great to walk round to my father's house and say, I'm now the company sergeant major. And his words were, it's taken you long enough. But yeah, he was pleased. He was pleased. It was good. Good.
What were your duties now as
company sergeant? Company sergeant major now, I was responsible for 120 jocks for their discipline, coordination of training with the company commander, 2IC, their well-being, their drill, their everyday life, and of course, going back to Edinburgh, we were back again on Castle Guards, ensuring my company was well turned out on Castle Guard. Last thing you wanted to hear was the Castle Adjutant ringing you up, telling you your guard was scruffy. So it was a case of looking after the jocks, looking after their welfare. You had problems with married families as well, wives coming to see you. Husband hadn't paid her any wages because he'd gambled it all or drunk it all. These were all problems. He worked, obviously, very closely with the company 2IC and with the regimental sergeant major. So it was another learning curve. But, that was all be put in practice when we were told about Gibraltar.
Did you have any specific preparations before you went to Gibraltar?
No. One had read about it in the papers that Spain was always on about Gibraltar belonged to them, and they would attack it one day and take it over. We were going as the counter-attack battalion. There was one resident battalion, British battalion, on Gibraltar, along with Royal Air Force personnel, naval personnel, and the Gibraltar Regiment. And we were to be based with the RAF at RAF North Front, which, as far as I'm concerned, was 9 months of hell. Royal Air Force was not friendly. The accommodation for the soldiers was bad. They were sleeping about 12 men to a room, where there was empty accommodation, where they could have been billeted. Sergeants were sleeping 4 and 6 to a room. Colour sergeant, sergeant major were in the Warrant Officers and Sergeants Mess, the Royal Air Force. Food was good. Food was good for the soldiers. There is only one problem. Jocks, having been used to going to a cookhouse in their own battalion, swearing away like troopers amongst themselves, suddenly found themselves with wrens and Women's Royal Air Force, young ladies, who were quick to complain about the language of the jocks. Some ages were sent for, and lesson one was to say to the jocks, right lads, you're now dining with ladies, curb the language. And of course, Gibraltar, once you'd been there a month, you'd seen the whole of Gibraltar. What do? You roam around, you laze on the beach, you find some bar, you laze in there and drink all your pay. You steal bicycles to make your way back to the barracks and dump them outside. Gibraltarians complaining bitterly that their bicycles were not there the following morning. The jocks had stolen them. They'd appear in court and be fined £5, £10. Until one day the adjutant said to me, the jock from your company going to court today, there's £20, defend him. So down I goes, dressed in review order, and spoke about this jock being a wonderful soldier, never been in trouble, and then listened to the judge throw the book at him. Fed up his soldiers stealing the local population's bike. You will go to jail. And I looked, I thought, jail? That is a hole in the wall. And the jock turned deathly white. And I reported back to the adjutant, who said, how much? And I said, there's the money. He's got 10 days in the jail. And he went, what? I said, yes, sir. He said, go down tomorrow and see how things are. The following...